and see each one of you. We're thankful for your attendance. We're thankful for your faithfulness. We're thankful for the Lord giving us one more opportunity this side of eternity to gather together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think, what a blessed thing it is that we're able to have services. We're able to have services like God's people have had services going way back. In this day and age of new and improved, this day and age of decline of traditions and old-fashioned worship services, I think it's a wonderful thing. We can still meet, as the song says, and worship the old-fashioned way. Our services are conducted pretty much the same way they've always been conducted. I'm 63 years of age, and our services are still conducted the way they were back when I was a boy. And even back beyond that, with my parents, my grandparents, and it's a wonderful thing. Amen. That we're still here. Amen. Still able to meet, worship, offer up spiritual sacrifices the old-fashioned way. I really have wondered from time to time if when the Lord returns, as the question is asked in Scripture, will he find faith? Will he find faith? I make that a little personal and translate it a little bit particular. When the Lord returns, will he find faith? Baptist Church? That's something we should consider. We're called to earnestly contend for the faith. You know whose job that is? That's your job. Preachers come and go. Preachers are temporary. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ continues. And this year our church observes its 60th anniversary. God help us not to take these things for granted. Do remember those you might notice who are not here, might be sick. God would raise up each one according to his will. Always remember our older folks. The Lord would continue to give them grace for the days that they face. Remember those that are looking ahead to surgeries and procedures. Sister Jana looks like she's going to have surgery or is planning on surgery. We want to remember her in our prayers. God would give her grace to go through this time. Brother Bob is still scheduled to have his procedure done in March. Remember him as you go before the Lord. Let's take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We believe there's one God. There's only one true living God. We believe He is the Father of all the redeemed. I feel I need to specify that we don't believe in the brotherhood of man or the fatherhood of God as far as universally applying that. You're only a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a child of God just because you're human, just because you were born. You need to see yourself as a sinner, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in Christ. That makes you a child of God. And the Bible says you're a child of someone else, who we won't refer to at this time, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is above all. We believe our God is sovereign. And I don't know how to describe it other than He's sovereign of the universe. Sovereign over the earth and the affairs of man. Sovereign over all the other planets, the solar systems. He's sovereign over everything that exists. And He is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. Jehovah is His name. And He made all things. Anything that exists, God made it. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Verse number 11, Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, little g? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like unto God? I look at that statement, and it calls me to kind of step aside and meditate a little bit on that. He's glorious in holiness. Okay, we know He's glorious. He's God. We know He's holy. He is holiness. But that passage says He's glorious in holiness. I mean, there's a depth there that you got to have to wade out into and then just give it some thought. God is glorious in His holiness. We read in Isaiah chapter 6 about those winged creatures who constantly say, holy, 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 around the throne of God, around the throne of our Lord. We've read similar language in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Those special, four special living created beings, day and night, are around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, thou art holy, holy, holy." Seems to me, if he's glorious in holiness, and there is a special created being constantly ascribing holiness to him, day and night, all the time, there is a crying out of holiness to the Lord, then we can't think of his holiness too much. And I don't think we think about his holiness often enough. He is holy. He is holy. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, the 11th verse. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power." Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." John chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. "But the hour cometh," Jesus is speaking here to the woman at the well, "the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We believe God is worthy of honor, confidence. We believe he is worthy of love. We believe he is worthy of worship. And Jesus Christ said, "The hour comes and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father." And I can never get away from the thought that what time was it when Christ was speaking to the woman of the well? It was the time of his church, the beginning of his church. And he points out to this woman, now is not to be found as worshiping God in Samaria or that mountain. Now is not the time to find people worshiping in Jerusalem, but now is the time when true worshipers shall worship. What had he brought into the world? He brought his church, his congregation into the world. Started with those 12 apostles. By the time Pentecost comes along, there's about 120 members, ballooning to several thousand. So we believe he's worthy of honor, confidence, love, and worship. We believe there are three persons, three beings in the Godhead. There's only one God, and yet three persons, three beings, three distinct beings, carrying out their functions and their offices, and yet all the while existing as one unity of God. We find in the Great Commission, we're told to go preach the gospel and to baptize in the name, singular, the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, not the names, as though there's three separate gods or three separate individuals, but in the name singular of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John 15:26, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. There are many, many examples where the three parts, the three beings of the Godhead are identified. And we have seen it, I don't recall how many times, in Revelation from the first chapter, now all the way up to the beginning of the sixth chapter, you find the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit present. In that great throne room scene, you have the indescribable God. You have Jesus Christ bodily. And you have the perfection of the Holy Spirit represented. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 2. We find all three persons, all three beings, all three parts of the Godhead playing a role in redemption. There's a lot of different ways you can find their roles displayed within Scripture. One way that always comes to my mind is God chose to save us. Jesus died to save us. And the Holy Spirit quickens, makes us alive, and carries out our salvation. All three parts of the Godhead represented. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 17 and 18. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. We're having Gentiles and Jews referenced here in Ephesians chapter 2, and how that God had broken down the wall of separation and partition and had made them of one body, both Jews and Gentiles. And the Ephesian church given as an example of that. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, that would be Gentiles, and them which were nigh, the Jews. Look at the Godhead in verse 18. For through him, that's Jesus, for through him we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. See, by Christ, we have access through the Spirit, by the Spirit's working, unto the Father. That's the Godhead's role and participation in our redemption. And I think I said this last week, and I'll just say it again in passing. Go in your mind to a place where God had not yet created the earth. Go to a place in time where, let's say, he had not yet created anything. He was just God. If you can get to that place, what you're going to find is we have to believe that if we get to that place where he was just God, he was still God the Father. He was still God the Son. He was still God the Holy Spirit. God's immutable. Has always existed as he exists. Has always been God. And if you can get to that place, it'll boggle your mind to think about that the Godhead, who's immutable, always existing, never changing, seems to be in Scripture portrayed as entering into a covenant with each other. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that covenant they entered into was to save our soul. Before anything was ever made that was made, that covenant, I believe, existed. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all agreed that they would carry out their parts, their functions in redemption. There is one and only one true living God. He is a Spirit. Jehovah is his name. He's the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth. He is glorious in holiness, worthy of honor, confidence, love, and worship. There are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three parts, all three persons, had a part in our redemption. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnimerciful. He's God. And that's really just a brief sketch of what we believe about God. Let's stand together. We'll have a verse.